thing to today, so I don't have a sheet for you. What I would like to do during the shiur today is learn about Rus. Week before Shavuos, and certainly she qualifies as one of the types of personalities that we've been exploring. We read Megillas Rus on Shavuos for there are several reasons which are given for it, reasons which range from the birth of David HaMelech, you know, being associated, the death of David HaMelech being associated with Shavuos, and Rus is the Sefer Yuchsin, the ancestry, the story behind the birth of David HaMelech. Rus is a story which is focused around, to some degree, the matnos aniyim, the gifts to the poor, which are given in the harvest season, which is the season of Shavuos. It's also a part of the story. But there's another very basic element as well. Shavuos, the time of Kabbalah HaTorah, is considered, viewed by Chazal, as the mass geulus, the mass conversion of the Jewish people. When we accepted the Torah as a nation, that's the macro for what an individual who accepts the Torah to join the Jewish people will do themselves. And we learn our halachas, the halachas of geulus, the Gemara and Yevamos, when it learns the laws of geulus, the elements which are needed in order to be able to complete a conversion, it uses Matan Torah, what the Jewish people went through at Matan Torah, as the model, and it pulls out the elements from there in order to be able to figure it out. So, on the day when we celebrate Matan Torah, Shavuos, the day which we celebrate Kabbalas HaTorah, Kabbalas Mitzvahs, acceptance of the Torah and the Mitzvahs, it's a day when we read the Megillah of an outstanding example of Geirus, an outstanding example of a person who accepted upon themselves the Torah. And that's another reason, that's another example of why it is that we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos. So I want to explore with you the Kabbalas HaTorah of Rus. The Kabbalas HaTorah of Rus, the Kabbalas Mitzvahs of Rus, which again serves very, very many ways as an example. You know, of course, perhaps the most obvious is that when Rus wanted to join the Jewish people, Naomi kept trying to discourage her, pushing her back. We know that that's something which is done to someone who wants to join the Jewish people in a contemporary. We learn it from Rus. We learn it from this story. So let's try to look specifically at the Kabbalas HaTorah of Rus, so we can understand more about Kabbalas HaTorah generally, and of course about Rus and Naomi as well specifically. It's not from today. We're without a sheet today. About that. Why did Rus convert? Why did Rus convert? Why did she join the Jewish people? What do we have about Rus's motivations in joining the Jewish people? No, what do you say? Not a rhetorical question. Yeah? Where does it say that? I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm gonna be straight. I mean, yeah, anything you say, I'm gonna ask you to substantiate.
You go. I'll go. Your God will be my God. She's emphasizing that you have my reticence.
She does definitely say that she's going to follow everything which Naomi does. She's going to go along with whatever Naomi says. Batayimer Rus al tifki bi lazvech lashuv me'acharayich. Don't try to urge me to leave you. Where you will go, I will go. Where you will sleep, I will sleep. Amech ami, your people are my people. And your God is my God. Where you will die, I will die. There I will be buried. So Hashem could do to me, because only death will separate us. Only death will separate between the two of us. So definitely, she has a commitment to Naomi, because she's impressed with Naomi. Huh?
Not two of us?
not to.
When she was married.
Well, maybe she did. Maybe she did, and maybe she didn't. What you're bringing up is a very complex issue. It says, how about their husband? Maybe she converted. Didn't she convert before she married her husband? It's a difference of opinion, even in Chazal, as to exactly what happened before the marriage which she had to Machlon. Was that an intermarriage? Was that part, according to the Targum, on Megillas Rus, it says that that's why Hashem took away Machlon. That's why Machlon died. According to other versions, they died nothing to do with marrying out, because Rus had already to some degree converted before. But nevertheless, here, to some degree, she is affirming that commitment. She has, so to speak, an out, which we would have a hard time understanding in Halacha, because once she converts, she can't leave, right? But to some degree, this is the moment of even greater commitment. But she's committing to Rus because she's impressed, to Nami, excuse me, because she's impressed with Nami? Because she wants to follow everything that she's done? Yeah.
It just seems to follow that theme of loyalty that started last week. The Ramban, that the Jewish people is loyal to Hashem, and that's why Hashem chose us. So maybe she had that character in her, and what she's going to do with it, so she felt like she had to be loyal to.
Excellent. That same expression of Bashir, Telchi, Eleich, all of that is a personal commitment which Rus has to Nami. Poor lady. I mean, what Nami has gone through. Nami came, Malaya, right? She left, as it says, she was filled, she had children, she had wealth, she had a husband, and now she has none of the above. She's been completely, completely devastated. And Rus says, I'm going to stick with you. I'm not going to let you go back by yourself. I'm going to stay with you all the way. Almost the last thing on her list is Elokai Ech Elokai. We don't find Rus expressing herself as being interested in Yiddishkeit per se. Yes, it is true, of course, that Chazal say, Basher Telchi Elech, Basher Talini Alin, these all allude to halachas. Right? It's not just, okay, you know, you shop at this store, I'm also going to shop at this store. No. Everything. Tel Chielach, there's Tchum Shabbos. Bashir Talini Olin, there are rules of Yichud. All of the rules and limitations which exist upon a Jew. All of the mitzvahs. All of the prohibitions. Whatever you do, I'm going to go along with you. But it's not because she's focused on the mitzvahs or the prohibitions. It's because she's focused on doing what Nami does. Yeah. So again, as we said, it's a fair question. We have this issue: was she already converted before? There's some question about it. There is no question is that Chazal view what she did here right now as really solidifying the conversion. If Nami is trying to talk her out of it and telling her to go, to some degree, it wasn't gelled yet. It wasn't solid yet. It wasn't fulfilled yet. If we learn from here the halachos of discouraging a prospective convert, so then this is the process of conversion. So again, it may be that on some level there was something of a conversion before for the sake of marrying Machlon, but this is the point of focus from which we consider it a model of conversion, a model of Kabbalah's mitzvahs. And what she's expressing here is not theological. There's one allusion later in Megillas Rus to something which would begin to approach the theological. And that is when Boaz gives a bracha, when he gives a bracha to Rus. Right? So he says, oh, I'm sorry, here it is. Okay. Yishalem Hashem, in Perek Beis, Boaz said to her, I've heard everything which you did with your mother-in-law after your husband died. You left your father and your mother in your birthplace. You went to a people that you never knew before. Yishalem Hashem po'olech, Hashem should pay you for what you've done. Uti maskur teich shleim, and your reward should be complete. Me'im Hashem Elokei Yisrael asher bos lasos tachas kenafot. From Hashem, the God of Israel, that you've come to take shelter beneath his wings, so to speak. So you've come to take shelter with Hashem. So that can sound like a religious motivation. But it also can be, you've come here. You've come to be part of the people. You've come to be with Rus, with Nami. You've come here. And now, Hashem, who you have come to as part of this, Hashem should take care of you, and Hashem should be mevarech you. I think that, you know, it's certainly enough there to create some kind of ambiguity. But what's inescapable, it seems, is that what is constantly noted about Rus in this Megillah is not the sophistication of her discovery of Hashem. It is the commitment which she has to Nami, the commitment which she has to her husband who has died, in order to some degree to perpetuate his name by marrying within his family. That is, we can call it loyalty, we can call it by the term which is used repeatedly with her in this Megillah of Chazdech, of her kindness to this family, a kindness of commitment, a kindness of responsibility. This is what dominates when it comes to Rus. And Chazal speak about another aspect of this Megillah when they speak about it, besides calling it the Sefer Yuchsin of David HaMelech. They say that the whole thing is told in order to teach you the rewards of Goymlei Chasadim, of those who do kindness, of those who do chesed. And that's also not foreign to Kabbalah HaTorah. Because, after all, what do Chazal point out to us about the Torah itself? Is that the Torah, Chilasa Gemilus Chasadim, V'Saifa Gemilus Chasadim, the Torah starts with kindness, with Hashem taking care of Adam and Chava, you know, covering them when they needed clothing, Kosnos Or. It ends with Gemilus Chasadim, with Hashem burying Moshe Rabbeinu. And in the middle, say Chazal, there's also Gemilus Chasadim, where Hashem goes to be Mabakir Cholan, to take care of, to visit Avram Avinu when he is sick. If that becomes an overall theme within the Torah, so then when we talk about Kabbalah HaTorah, that can also very much be the overall theme. This becomes the Megillah of Gemilus Chasadim. But I want to look at it, at the idea here a little bit more closely. That Rus is Gemilus Chasadim, that she's loyal, is to some degree, you know, unquestioned. But that this becomes a motive for Geirus is something which we have to look to. It becomes, it seems to some degree, something which is very, very, very personal, rather than something religious. So I want to read to you first a little bit from the Rambam. The Rambam in the Perek Yud Gimel of Hilchos Yisurei Bia, which is where he discusses Geirus, he discusses conversion and laws of people who you cannot marry. So, he says like this, HaMitzvah Nechona, the proper way to do things is, K'sheyovo hager o hagioris lehiskayer, when a person comes to join the Jewish people, bod kinachrov, we check, Shema biglal momon sheyito, maybe the person might stand to gain some money, some financial gain, o bishvil sarara sheyiskela, or maybe as a result of this, the person will gain some kind of an important position, o mipnei hapachad bo lehikanes ledas, or maybe because they're afraid of some consequence if they don't. V'mishu, if it's a man, bod kinachrov shema einav nasan b'isha yehudis, maybe he's coming because he's interested in a Jewish woman. V'mishahi, and if it's a woman, bod kin shema einav nasna b'bachur mibachurei Yisrael, maybe she set her eyes on a young Jewish man. Im lo nimtza lohem ayola, if we don't find this kind of an excuse or a reason, so then modi en oson kovet ol haTorah, we let them know the heavy responsibility of Torah. V'torach sheyesh ba'asiyosa al ameho aratos, And the fact that regular people might have a very hard time keeping the Torah. We don't try to talk them into it, in a certain sense. We try to talk them out of it. Kadeshi Yifreishu. So that they will change their mind. Im Kiblu V'loi Pirshu. But if they accepted, and they didn't separate, V'roeisam Shechazru Me'ava, and we saw that they've come out of love, Mekablenoisam, then we accept them. As it says, and here he quotes Ruach Vatera Kimisametes Hilaleches Itav Atechla L'Davela. When she saw the insistence of Ruach to go with her, she stopped trying to talk her out of it. So what are we doing when we discourage? What we're doing is not because we don't want a ger. It's not the case. It's not true. In fact, there are Rishonim who say that the mitzvah of Ahavtem es Hager, there's a mitzvah in the Torah which is repeated, you should love the ger. It's not just the mitzvah, okay, once the person's a ger, already love them. But the mitzvah of Ahavtem es Hager is also to love to have gerim, to love to welcome people into the Jewish people. To bring a person into the Jewish people is also a fulfillment of Ahavtem es Hager. However, you have to, excuse the expression, you have to separate the men from the boys. You have to be able to see who's really genuine here. And so when we give them a hard time, it's not because we don't want them. It's because if you really want it, nothing's going to stand in your way. If you really want it, you won't allow the discouragement to get in your way. So we tell them all the reasons not to. We're not so easy. We're not so forthcoming. But if they are motivated, they will come, come what may. That's the idea. So we want them, we want to see what the motivation is. We want to winnow out those whose motivations wouldn't be good. Lefikach, continues the Rambam. Lo kiblu bezin gerim kol yimei David u'shlomo. They did not accept gerim throughout the time of David HaMelech or Shlomo HaMelech. Formally, no gerim were accepted. Bimei David, in the days of David, they didn't accept them. Why? Shema min ha-pachad chazru. David was waging war. He was winning over other nations. Maybe they were just coming because they were scared. In the days of Shlomo, there was peace already. Menucha. But Shema, Bishvil HaMalchus, V'atayv HaGdele, Shoyu B'Yisrael Chazru. Maybe now, it wasn't fear, but it was, they were attracted by the great strength, wealth, prominence that was associated with the Jewish people at this time. So therefore, they didn't want to accept, not Bimei David, not Bimei Shlomo. The Chazal, Rambam discusses elsewhere, that the wives of Shlomo that converted, it was with like an underground kind of a bezdin. It wasn't formal. It wasn't proper. It wasn't done through the normal channels. And he continues and he says the line. Shekol ha-chayzer min ha-akum bishvil dovar mehav le-ha-ilam eine migere ha-tzedek. A person who leaves Avodah Zarah because of something of hav le-ha-ilam, some matter of this world, some mundane, vain, passing matter of this world, that person is not of the Ger Tzedek. A Ger Tzedek comes for something which is not Mehav Le'olam, not one of the meaningless things of this world. That's the criterion. It can't be for something which is one of the meaningless things of this world. So what must it be? All of this, we've given them reasons not to come. We say, you know, it's very hard. In this world, life can be hard because of mitzvahs. You know that the Jewish people suffer all kinds of material things, material difficulties and persecutions. Okay, fine, I understand. But those are, we're going to write them off to some degree as Havlei Ha'olam. They're not discouraged by the lack of Havlei Ha'olam. They're not coming to join because of Havlei Ha'olam. They want something that's much bigger, that's much greater. And that's why, that's what we're looking for in the person who's going to be the ger. So, I put forth a very simple theory. A very simple theory. The consequences might be a little complicated, but the theory is very simple. Rus joined the Jewish people because of loyalty to Nami. And when she joined the Jewish people, she joined the Jewish people wholesale. She knew what it meant to join the Jewish people. Basher tel chelech, basher talini alin. Everything that went up. Amecha mi ve'loikayech eloikoy. But the driver for Rus joining the Jewish people was something which was not material. It was not mehav leha'olam at all. Because it was not at all self-serving. It was completely out of dedication. Naomi gave her all the reasons why it wasn't a good idea for her to join. Naomi explained to her that, what are you going to do? You're going to come with me? I don't have anything. You're not going to be able, who are you going to marry? You're going to wait till, who knows, gam ha'isi alayla l'ish gam yoladati banim. You're never, what are you going to get from this? And what was Rusa's answer? She didn't answer with what she was going to get from it. She answered with what she was going to give. When we speak about Torah tchilasa v'sofa gemilus chasadim, it's because it's that aspect, that sensitivity, that drive which a person will be able to have to do something, to move in a direction which is not self-serving, that is the fundamental driver for connection. Yes, for connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for connection to the Jewish people, for connection to Nitzchias, for connection to eternity. I want to read to you another Rambam. There are several places where the Rambam speaks of this theme in different places, all of them very important and interesting. We'll try one more. Please. The translation of Hevel HaOlam is the vain passing things of this world. The vain passing things of this world. There was a person named Hevel. Right? There was a person named Hevel. He had a brother whose name was Cain. So Ramban says that these names were reflective of their personality. Cain was Kinyan, Kanisi, the things which we have. Hevel was Kinyan Ha'adam LaHevel Dama. It's all passing, it's nothing. Cain was more material, and Hevel was more spiritual. Some would see Hevel because, well, look, he came and he went. You know, in that sense, he was just passing. He was just passing. But no, the assertion of the other side of the coin, says the Ramban. There's what we have, but on the other hand, we have to understand how fleeting and you know, insignificant the material connections that we have in this world are. That's the affirmation of Hevel. Havle Ha'olam is investment in those things of this world that are passing. When a person joins because of Havle Ha'olam, because of things which are not of that lasting eternal value, they're just the material things of this world, the here today, gone tomorrow stuff, that's what we refer to, I think, as Havle Ha'olam. And you'll see this in a moment in this source, which I want to read you. Maybe it'll help, and we'll please feel free to come back to it. There's a Mishnah at the end of Maseches Machos. It's a famous Mishnah because we say it at the end of every Perek. Those who say Pirkei Avos say it at the end of every Perek of Pirkei Avos, and it's a tradition to say it in general. People say it at the end of learning when a Kaddish Rabbanon is cited. Rabbi Chananya ben Akashia Omer Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu Lizakos Es Yisrael Ufikach Chibul Amtara Mitzvahs. Hashem wanted to be mezakeh, to give merit, to give purity, to give whatever, however you translate that term, to give zechus to the Jewish people. Therefore, he gave them a lot of Torah and mitzvahs. Here, b'lehem Torah and mitzvahs. As it says, Hashem chafetz l'man tzidkoy yegdil Torah v'yadir. So what does that mean? Hashem gives us a lot of mitzvahs. You know what that means? It means there are a lot of mitzvahs we can fail to do also. Right? What does this mean? Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu lezakos es Yisrael. So the Rambam has a very important and very fascinating explanation here. Listen to what he says. Me'ikre ho'amuna b'Torah. One of the fundamental beliefs of the Torah is, ki k'sheyikayim adam mitzvah mitaryag mitzvos. When a person will fulfill one mitzvah of the 613, karoi u'kahogen, properly and correctly, v'lo yishatef ima kavana mikavanas ha'olam b'shum panim, and does not include in doing this mitzvah an intent of those of this world, a worldly intent in any way, el shiyasa oso lishma me'ava, but he does it for its sake, out of love for Hashem, k'mo shebiyarti l'cha, hinei zocha ba l'chai elam haba, he merits elam haba. not through 613 mitzvahs, through one mitzvah done with absolute purity of motive. That's what does it. That's what gives a person Olam Haba. And so he goes on to explain, that's why Rabbi Hananya says this, Ki ha-mitzvos bi-osam harbei, since there are so many mitzvahs, i-efshar shelo yasa adam b'chayev achas mihem al-maskunasa u-shleimusa. It's much easier for a person to find one to be able to connect to that way, to find one that they can do perfectly and with all the right motivations. U-va-soso oso ha-mitzvah t'chaye nafsho b'oso masa. And when he does that mitzvah, and he does it right, that is what will bring life to his soul through that action. That's what the Rambam says. One Rambam, this is the Rambam, Maimonides Rambam, in his Pirush HaMishnah, in his commentary to the Mishnah of Makos, the last Mishnah. Says the Rambam, all you need is one mitzvah done with pure motivation, not for any purpose, any self-serving purpose, just for the right reason. One mitzvah is enough to give that life to the neshama, that eternity to the person. And the idea behind this, I think we can just make very, very simple. Very simple. We're human beings that are composed of guf and neshama, out of body and of soul. And there are all kinds of things that we do in the world because of the different parts which we have. They motivate us differently. They motivate us to do all kinds of things. And when you're going to look and you're going to find something that can only be explained by the motivation of the neshama, right? We do all kinds of things all the time that we can explain for physical reasons. This is what we do for a living, this is what we do to get along, this is what we do in society, this is what people expect of me to do, I'm afraid, therefore I do it, I'm interested in something, therefore I do it. All of those things don't point to a live neshama. But when you do something, anything, you do something that there's no material explanation for it, you have just affirmed, loud and clear, that there's something in you that drives you beyond the material world. And that's how you get into the non-material world. That's how you get nitzchias. The material world is passing. Olam Haba is eternal. In order to be able to have the chelik in Olam Haba, what you need to do is you need to develop a taste, some kind of a taste, for that which has nothing to do with this world. If our tastes, if our motivations are completely driven by the things which are around here, what are we going to do up there? That's how the Rambam expresses it in the positive way. One mitzvah that a person does, focused, driven completely, not by worldly, material desires, but by something else, that's enough to get him in the Olam Haba. And that's the same thing that he speaks about here when he speaks about the genuineness of a person coming to join HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If they're going to be motivated by something that's in this world, mehavli ha'olam, how can we speak about them as connecting to the divine? We can't. It's not divine, it's just a situation, you know, down here, something which is very much still cut of the cloth of this world. We need to somehow show that they've transcended that. That they're motivated by something and they're driven by something which is beyond that. Yeah.
The way the Rambam says it sounds very, very challenging. One mitzvah, once in a lifetime?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. So any pointers? Like, how would you even know, you know, you do things because you want your kids to see you, or you do things even if it seems like lishma? What's really lishma? Can we get there?
It's a hunting question.
I don't know.
It's a very hunting question. You know, lishma, what's real lishma? You know, I don't know to tell you exactly how, you know, but I don't think that it's as hard as it sounds for two reasons. First of all, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek L'Olam Haba. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek L'Olam Haba. So that means that it's there. And secondly, you know, this Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos, you know, it's there, it's accessible. It is accessible. It doesn't necessarily happen by itself. And it's such a valuable thing to be aware of. It's such a valuable thing to be aware of. It's like, you know, as a just as a good Musar exercise for a person, self-knowledge. As we go through our day and we think about things and we do things, we can just ask ourselves, okay, so what's, why do I do this? Why do I do that? How much of my behavior is going to be motivated by Havlei Ha'olam? Where can I identify something that the nourishment which I get from what I'm doing here is completely not from my Olam Hazeh. It's completely not from these things. And again, it's not necessarily locking yourself up in a room with a sitter. You know, doing something, so to speak, what we call spiritual. That's the point of Rus. That's the point of Tchilas of Asayfa Gmilas Chasadim. None of the Havlei Ha'olam were operative here. She had nobody to impress. Right? She had nothing material to gain, but she said, there's a precious person there that I want to help. That I want to stand by.
How do we know that she wasn't afraid to go back tomorrow?
She would be any more afraid than her sister? And she, I don't know. You know, one. I guess it's possible that she that they did, but there's no. I don't see any. I mean, first of all, certainly in Chazal's portrayal of Rus and how she was seen, she was not seen as doing something self-serving. Her mother-in-law was not saying, you know, don't be afraid, go back home. She was saying, you know, you don't have to worry about me. The whole tone of the story is that way, and you have to understand that this was a royal shidduch. It wasn't like she had betrayed her family by going off and marrying a Jew. They came to stay Moab, Ayusham, the Pasuk says. They settled into Moab. It was a big coup for Moab that they had foreign dignitaries, nobility coming and moving there. They gave over a princess, you know, to go and marry into the family. It didn't work out. She goes back home. Afraid? I don't think the story speaks to it. Yeah.
When we do, you know, mitzvahs like Chesed Shemes or giving tzedakah, we have in mind, we're doing it for the mitzvah. We're doing it to serve Hashem. Is that considered an ulterior motive? Because it is lishma, but we're doing it because we have in mind that we want the mitzvah.
So it depends why we want the mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
If we want the mitzvah, the way the Rambam characterizes it is that if a person's oseh ha'emes mipnei shehu emes, if a person wants to do it because it's the right thing to do, if Hashem told me to do it, it's the right thing to do. If the person's doing the emes mipnei shehu emes, and they know v'saif haschar lovei, they know v'saif hatovei lovei, they know that good things happen to people who do good things. But they're doing it because it's the right thing to do. Ashrei ish yireas Hashem b'mitzvosav chafetz ma'od. Fortunate is the person who's God-fearing, who's very desiring of his mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, Rambam quotes it, b'mitzvosav v'loi b'schar mitzvosav. Their desire is the mitzvahs. They're not thinking about the benefits. If a person says, I'm doing it because Hashem told me, and if Hashem told me, that means I'm going to get great reward, and I'm interested in the reward, then they're not quite there yet. But if they're doing it because that's a good thing, then that's in itself. That's in itself a great, great piece. It's a great motivator. Yeah.
I'm just scanning my lips
this
morning. I'm very worried.
Okay,
I'm
in
everything I do.
Well, I just want to say I'm positive. Anyone who's there, take the shot. Why would anyone be here for any reason? So, you know, I don't think it's as far as we're thinking.
So it's like,
that was strong.
Why would anyone have that? The Rambam says, everyone will find it. Everyone will have it. There's going to be something. Now again, yes, it does sometimes pay to knock around, but I don't think this is something which should make us depressed. We can search, we can find, we can identify, and if you will tap in to this Rus method, this is really what I'm talking about. Rus's method is the way to open it up for us. That's the way to open us up to not just thinking about Havlei Ha'olam, not just thinking about ourselves. It's hard, yeah. When you light candles, you can light candles for 500 reasons. When you eat kosher, you can eat kosher for 500 reasons. You can do all these kinds of things. But to do chesed, I'm not talking about as some celebrated performer of chesed, but to do chesed as a small, humble, quiet, you know, off the record, you know, you look up and speak to that
know, that lonely person, and it's, you know, there's no organizational thing, you know, there's not going to be any tea tendered in your honor because you did that. You know, just you're doing it because you know when you call that person, it makes a difference. And that opens us up to just living differently. It opens us up to living differently. I want to read with you a third Rambam, okay? Just a third Rambam as an example, as a third illustration, where he uses the same language, the same terminology, and it just teaches us, all of it teaches us a lot. So I don't have the right volume of the Rambam. Sorry, I'm just trying to scan the shelves, but okay. I'll tell it to you about that. Not but word by word. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisori HaTorah about Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem. Sanctifying Hashem's name in the world. So how do you sanctify Hashem's name in the world? How are you Mekadosh Shem Shamayim? What's an example? What would you view as the quintessential of that example of Kiddush Shem Shamayim? So the Rambam gives as an example of Kiddush Shem Shamayim an example that I think we would, if we would think about it, we would find it very, very interesting as a choice. Because in our usual measures of Kiddush Shem Shamayim, this definitely was not a success. The Rambam says, anybody who does something good or avoids something bad, this is Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Hei Halacha Yud. Those who are interested. First section of the Rambam's Korach Mishnah. Anyone who separates from an Avera, or asa mitzvah, or does a mitzvah, lo mipnei dover ba'olam, not for anything in this world, okay? See the kind of terminology which he uses? Lo pachad v'lo yira, not because of a fear or a worry of anything. V'lo levakish kavod, and not because they're seeking honor. Ella mipnei habore baruch, only because of Hashem. Somebody who does something that is unexplainable by anything other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the motivator. So that's Mekadosh Hashem. And what's the example? The example is Menias Yosef HaTadik Atzmo Me'eshes Rabo. Was Yosef withholding himself from the wife of Potiphar, running away from the wife of Potiphar. Why? Because what could have possibly motivated him to withhold himself from the wife of Potiphar? Nobody was around. He was a person. He had a Yetzer Hara like anybody else. Chazal described that very, very vividly. It was going to hurt his employment, right? If he would have gone along with her, he wouldn't have been thrown into jail. He would have stayed on. Maybe he would have been promoted. No material reason for him to hold back. But he did. Only because of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Only because of the values, right? The image of his father that stood before his eyes that reminded him of who he was and where he came from. And that's what he did. That was the ultimate Kiddush Hashem. Why do I say this is such a surprise? Because we know, Chazal tell us, that on the Egyptian tabloids, for a long time following, what happened was, the headlines were all about this Jewish slave, this Hebrew slave who had taken advantage of Eishes Potiphar. Chazal say the whole reason why Hashem came up with this story of the butler and the baker was so that there would be a new story in the newspaper to get rid of the story of Yosef. So they would have something else to talk about. Rashi, right? Rashi says, that's what Hashem made it, so that they would stop talking about Yosef. So you would say, that's a chilul Hashem. Right? He didn't mean it, you know? He didn't mean it, but that's what ended up happening. But no, it was a very powerful Kiddush Hashem. And the only person who witnessed it was Nebuch, Eishes Potiphar. Right? She's the only one who witnessed it, and she didn't appreciate it very much, evidently. It was completely private. Nobody knew about it. But there was no way to explain this action by considerations of this little world, by things that you see with your eye. This action is only explainable because of something beyond simple material concerns. That's the magic of Kiddush Hashem. That's what it means bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. That means that Hashem is now a real factor. If he did this or didn't do this because of the Rabbanu Shalom, that means Hashem is here. That means Hashem is real. Yes.
Doing it for anything, I think that is an affirmation and a
Hatsnei, you're absolutely right. For us to be aware of ourselves to some degree, because when we're, anytime we do things, still to some degree there could be just this this force of routine or expectation. As long as we just stop for a second and say to ourselves in our mind, oh, look what I'm doing. And I'm doing this, and now this part, my thinking about it, my focusing in, it's only because I'm aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There you are. You just tapped into Nitzchis. You just tapped into eternity. And again, all it takes, says the Rambam, once you've already showed, already displayed, and exercised the sensitivity to this. It's a whole different thing. As long as it's not because of any kind of fear or intimidation like that, as you say, it's not because somebody else will see you, and to some degree because you're tempted. There's a discussion in the Gemara about whether, if you right now, by the way, I'm not eating a cheeseburger right now. Am I getting rewarded for not eating a cheeseburger right now? No, because I'm not tempted. When I go home and I eat lunch, I'm also not going to be rewarded because we don't have any at home. Right? So and when I drive down Reisterm Road, I'm also not going to be tempted. Right? The only time you get reward, quote unquote, for a loisa say is when it presents itself. When it presents itself in a real way. And we are so socially, conditioned and engineered that these things don't present themselves too often. But would they? If you're flying and your plane has an unexpected stopover in Omaha, Nebraska, and you are starving, and you look around, there isn't a Jew in sight, nobody you know in sight, and you smell from one of those restaurants in the airport, and so something like that, and nobody will know the difference. That person gets chayav for that. And yes, that's a Kiddush Hashem. There's no reason in the world other than the Rabbanu Shalom that I'm not doing this. 100%. 100%.
You have to wake it up.
But again, I think that you could just pick up that Shema card that you have on your nightstand, and you go through it and so on and so forth. It may not be Dover, but you may not be connecting to another world at that moment, but it doesn't take that much to stop and to think and to connect. If you don't, if it's just, automatic, and a chanami, it's true. But on the other hand, the person doesn't have to be some tremendous hero, some refusenik, it does require touching this thing. And again, I will maintain, Be'ezer Hashem, that the best access point to it, to the spirituality, is acts of giving that are not for the self, that are not self-fulfilling. Because, the neshama is like a muscle too. It has to be exercised. It has to be developed. You have to develop the satisfaction from those kinds of things. And then it opens up to all of them. Tchilasa, Seifa, Gemilas, Chasadim. Rus was not just simply a loyal person. She ended up being Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. She ends up being the model. Not only that, she ends up being the Babi of David HaMelech. What's her name? You know what we call her? What we say? Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha, right? Ani avdecha ben amosecha. Right? That's Rus, who's amosecha for us. The knafech al amosecha. What did she call the name of her child?
Oved.
Oved. Right? Avdecha ben amosecha. Right? That's what it is. We just say, Rabbeinu Shalom, you know, this, we're not here in this self-serving thing. We're and her ability to do not for herself is just incredible. She didn't even keep her child, you understand? What did she do? She gave it to Nami. She gave it to Nami. Yulad ben Lenami. The people declared a child was born to Nami. It's and it was a wonderful thing. Now again, what does that mean? She didn't keep her child. She neglected. She had it. Nah, of course, she was involved with it, and so on and so forth. But she, this is for Nami. This is her her thing. Her salvaging something. Her having something for the future. That's what it's built on. That's where it comes from. Sorry.
I think I'm almost proud of my
It's a good
eta. It's
a good
eta. That's what we have to do all the time. We're always giving.
Mm-hmm.
We have to always try to dedicate it partly, at least, to what's happening.
But why did the Rambam use that interpretation as the Jewish Hashem? Why was it a temptation?
What do you mean? Why was it? Brings it as an example, the ultimate decision.
I just don't understand why they have
because otherwise you're not working. You're not exercising your muscles.
Because his the material part of Yosef HaTzadik would have wanted this very much. If it wasn't a temptation, if he wasn't interested in it in a physical sense, then his not doing it would have just been, you know, he's a good guy, he only wants the right things, you know? No, it was hiskabrus, it was overcoming, it was the sense of rightness, the moral sense, the ethical sense of Yosef, which was major league, winning the battle over
the other part of him that everybody has. Doesn't require that level of hiskabros. It's not like a person's driven in the other direction and has to do with it. They don't even involve the level of Nami and Rus, you know. So Rus was taka giving up a lot in order to be able to do this chesed. We can do a chesed without giving up a ton. You know, just again, you pick up a phone and you call somebody, you can make a person's week on a regular basis with something which is very, very casual. Is it going to be the same hiskabros? Is it going to be the same expression of absolute Kiddush Hashem? Maybe it's not as loud, but it's also an affirmation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, the bigger it is, the louder it is, the more of a challenge it is. To me, it seems, you know, the bigger an affirmation of the presence of Hashem it is. But I don't think it has to be that way. It's like if not for that, then it's nothing. No, the opposite.
Should it become part of you?
The opposite. It should be, you should say, I'm doing this chesed because I want to do chesed.
Then you're happy.
And that's good.
And that's okay?
Then you're like the Rabbeinu Shalom.
I'm thinking
that.
So
this is a Kach Kibalti Mi Rebbe Umairi, and it's the only thing which makes sense to me. Now, some people say when you do the mitzvah chesed, you should say, "I'm doing this because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do chesed, not because I want to do chesed. I'm doing this l'shem kiyum mitzvah simulus chesed." The problem is,
Oh, that's true too, but we don't usually care about that, you know. That's why we walk around like this. We don't usually care about taking the joy out of things, you know, just walk through the street and see everybody. But on the other side you have to wonder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the mitzvah to do chesed? You know what the mitzvah to do chesed is? What's the basis of the mitzvah to do chesed? That's the mitzvah. To be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Valachta bidrachav. So why does Hashem do chesed? Because Hashem told himself to do chesed? Or because he's a rachum and he's a chanun, right? He's a rachum. He cares for people. He gives to people. So if you feel good when you give something to somebody, now if you feel good because that person's now indebted to you, right, then that's not a good thing. But if you feel good because you feel the goodness of giving, then you know what you just did? You just got joy from your neshama. That's what the Rambam says. I told you this before. All the time, the Rambam in Hilchos is Purim, right? The reason why the greatest mitzvah of Purim is not the Suda, not the Mishloach Manos, but the Matanas Lavyanin, is not because they need it so much or because it's such a great sacrifice. The reason is because the mitzvah of Purim is to be happy, and the greatest joy a person can have is by bringing happiness to somebody who needs it. Because in doing that, says the Rama, he's daima l'shechina, he's like the Rabbanu Shalom. That's the joy of being. That's the joy of being. You know, there's a famous story about the Chassidish Rebbe. It's a story from 30 years ago, 40 years ago. A Chassidish Rebbe, Sheiros HaPleita Rebbe, the Blujava Rebbe, who was not well. And a certain very, very Lithuanian Rosh Yeshiva wanted to come and visit him, called and said he wanted to come visit him. And the Blujava Rebbe said, please tell him not to come. I don't want to be his chefta shel mitzvah of bikur chaylim. I don't want to be the object of his mitzvah of bikur chaylim. In other words, he was sort of like giving him a little bit of a slap on the wrist for his thing, where this person presented everything as just, it's a mitzvah, we'll figure out what to do. No. Bikur chaylim is, there's somebody who's not well, I want to help them. I want to take care of them. You know, at a certain point, you're supposed to be cultivating that within yourself. That sensitivity, that appreciation of something that isn't just about you. And that's the Yisayit of Kabbalah Tatera. Simple. That's what it is. That's the foundational principle. That's why Rus is the example. That's why what Rus did is the example. Of course, it has to lead to, you know, to everything else. That's Nasa V'Nishma, where the Kol Yisrael says, we'll do whatever you say without restraint. Meaning, well, this isn't about us. This is about giving. That's where it starts. And I think in general, you know, we are always struggling to enthuse and excite our, you know, a generation of people about Torah and mitzvahs, right? So it's sometimes hard to get somebody to be excited about davening. It's hard to get somebody to be excited about putting on tefillin or even about keeping Shabbos. Try to see if it's hard to get somebody excited about making somebody feel good. It's not hard at all. It's not hard at all. Why is it that the longest waiting list for a job in the summer for a teenager, for an in with it teenager, is Camp Simcha? Why is that? Why is that? Rabbi Scholar tells me it's easier to get into Brisk than to get into Camp Simcha staff. Right? Why is it? Because for a teenager, right, to spend, I mean, when before this was around, when I was a kid, imagine somebody saying, here, I have a great idea. If you go spend your summer taking care of a child, you know, maybe changing diapers on an 8-year-old, maybe, you know, tending to them, to their wounds, carrying them around. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Aren't you supposed to, like, hire professionals to do that stuff? But these kids go. They have the greatest joy that's possible in the world. How is it? Because it's the easiest thing for a person to taste. And that's nitzchias. That's what gives a person a taste for eternity. For something beyond havle ha'olam. Havle ha'olam. The passing things of this world, which, it's taka easy come, easy go. They don't last. They don't last. And that's the aside of Kabbalah Sato. I think.
Are you saying because of Rus's attachment to Naomi, that she made her happy through that act of giving for a cause. She was doing it for Naomi. And through that, she became a giver, and through that, she became the role model for givers.
Yeah. She gave in her life in a way which was utterly not so certain. And that is, she was doing it completely to make somebody else happy, with no self-motivation whatsoever.